God is in this place, amen. Isn't God amazing? That's how He rolls. In 20 minutes, He gives you an impartation of something that has happened over this whole weekend. And we're going to have some more of that, just sharing of the conference. And I'm just going to be sharing a couple of things. But before then, there's some people that I just want to quickly say hi to and honor. And of course, you guys can see Monis is back in action. Monis from Durban. And then next to him, Graham from Peter Maritzburg, Shofar Peter Maritzburg in Durban. There. And then, of course, we've got Shofar Limpopo in the form of Rofiwa. And Shofar Zimbabwe. Hey, Mr. Magura. All right, so as I said, I'm just going to be really quick. I didn't expect that, but it's great to expect God to move like that every week. Amen. It's really powerful if God does that, and He's going to continue to do that. Just one of the things that was just so encouraging to me, really actually just moved me over the weekend, was a speaker after speaker just said how they were just so moved, and how they said they actually felt how pleased God is at our worship. And I don't know about you, but that really just strikes to the core. You know, because there's a difference between good worship and pleasing worship. I mean, you can have very fantastic music and very awesome stuff, but when God says, wow, He's pleased with your worship, I mean, that is really, really amazing. And what I'm going to ask is, I don't think I'm going to even, the plan is to give some feedback, and as I said, it's not knowledge, it's an importation. I don't think I'm going to get through more, two or three of the sessions, just of feedback. But what I want to ask is, I want to have at least three testimonies of people that were at the conference. And the great thing about a testimony is the fact that, once again, importation. You can sit here and you can say, God, but I want that which that person is sharing. So I want three people to just share how you were changed over the weekend at the conference, and what God did. I already heard Rian, and I'm going to put him on the spot here. You know, he's got no option now. But he said to me, walking in here, he said, no, Jesus saw me this weekend. Hey, that's what you said. You're going to tell us the rest of it just about now. He says, yes, he's ready to go. Okay, so as I said, I'm really going to be brief. I'm just going to give us, you know, just some parts. And, you know, as I said, it's not about the knowledge. There's no ways I can give you everything that happened. But God, as He confirmed just now, is already moving in our hearts. And the first session that I want to be sharing is Dr. Corne Backer. And I think most of us are familiar with him. You don't need to look up on the slides. There's nothing there. Just that. Thanks, Ruel, for that. But that's it. No other things up there. He was sharing about, actually he stood up and he said he's going to share the greatest sermon ever preached. But it's not his own sermon. And it's the sermon of Jesus, which he preaches in or shares in Mark chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. And let me quickly just read it for you. If I can get there. I don't know why my tablet wants to open up Google Maps right now. It's maybe because I'm lost. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's it. That's the greatest message that's ever preached. And it's also one of the shortest ones. And it's definitely the most powerful one. And the kingdom coming is simply means that the king's rule has come. He's ruling and he's reigning. And what he said so powerfully was, you know, what we often do is we go to people, we say to them, listen, you must make Jesus your king. If you make him the king of your life, then he will be the king. And he says, that cannot be further from the truth, because he's already the king. The fact that you choose to make him the king doesn't make him the king. He is the king already. And I think that's the essence of the message, is God is ruling already. Furthermore, he says, God's choice is the most powerful thing ever. And he said it actually in the context of Pastor Fred was sitting there, and he said, God's choice in Pastor Fred as the head of this movement is a powerful, powerful thing. And part of the reason why we're sharing this is, as I said, one, of course, is impartation. The rest is in terms of how do we apply? How do we take what God shares at this conference, and how do we make it part of what, you know, we're going to do as a congregation for the next year? And so I want us to think practically, and this is the platform. So I want you to think in your individual, if you're leader of a small group or ministry in church, I want you to think in the context. I was so blessed over the weekend just spending time under the Word, listening. But, you know, there's something great sitting there and receiving and saying, God, I want to change. But there's something so more blessed when you sit there and you're saying, God, I'm listening not for myself only, but I'm listening to the people that I've got influence in my life. And I'm going to take your word and I'm going to apply your word in all of my life. And for the people that I'm accountable to, the people that I've got influence with in my works, wherever, I'm going to receive. And the amazing thing is then you receive so much more, because God realized, and 2 weeks ago, God said to us, he wants to give us a capacity in this church. He wants to give us a greater capacity. The only way that you can have a greater capacity is like the words came tonight, is if you take up that position as a father or a mother, you begin to say, God, my capacity is not just for myself, but I'm going to begin to give. I'm actually running a bit ahead, but I want to just actually go with this. But I think, was it last night session? Yes, Pastor Fred was sharing. And he shared about the fact that you and I are conduits. You know, and he had this whole demonstration. He had props. He had this whole bathtub, this massive thing that apparently he's got this big dog that he baths his dog in. And then, you know, which is a big container. And then he had this pipe thing, which is a conduit of water or something flowing. And he said, but the picture is of us. You and I are vessels of God. And the place in the world, you know, often in church, popular church culture, it says that if you've got this bathtub, you fill up this bathtub, you're going to be fulfilled. And he says that couldn't be further from the truth. The Christianity, the Christian walk that God has is like we said earlier, is that river flowing. Is that conduit. If your life is as of a conduit, as God gives you, you give it away. As God gives you more, you give it away. And in that position, and as you give away, God gives you more. And that is the place of greatest satisfaction that you and I can have. He says, if we become conduits. Let's get back to going back a session. God is ruling already. And it says, the kingdom comes, therefore repent. He says, the kingdom is at hand. In other words, it's so close you can touch it. Tonight, yeah, the kingdom is here. It's so close you can almost touch it. The reign of the king is here. Then it says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. And I love his definition. He says, we've all heard definitions of repentance, but this is his. He says, to change the direction you look for joy. To change the direction that you look for joy or happiness or fulfillment. And I think, you know, there's so often things that you and I look for joy, look for fulfillment. And, you know, the Holy Spirit's already started dealing with us, saying, but listen, he wants to be the source of our joy. He wants us, and that's why we were up front saying, God, we repent. But repentance means, and you know, sometimes God does something in your heart, but he wants us to eventually come to a place where we understand with our minds what has happened. So I'm sharing with you what has happened in our hearts tonight as we responded, is that God said, but listen, that place in your heart where you're saying, I'm gonna wait before I give my all to God, I'm going to do it somewhere in the future. I'm intentional. That is finished. That time is finished. But I want you to change that direction. So God is saying that place of your heart, He's not satisfied with it. He's not pleased with it. And he wants it to turn to a place where we look towards him. And we look to him as the source of our joy. And what was also so powerful of what he said is he said, listen, when you and I, repentance is not about focusing on the things that we're doing wrong and trying to fix it. Repentance is about looking to God, seeing Jesus. And when you see Jesus, this was so awesome for me when he said it. When you see Jesus, there's no choice. There's no choice because he's amazing. You know, if you see him, the choice is over. You're going to want him above everything else. You're going to want to direct that place in your heart towards him where you say, Jesus, you are my fulfillment. You are my joy. You are my everything. Then he said, towards the end, he said, just a couple of messages, and specifically prophetic messages to us as a movement. He said, for a while, some of us forgot who is in charge. Some of us forgot who is king. And that time is finished now. And then he said, there's a Kairos moment on the way for shofar. And Kairos moment means is the Kronos moment, which is just the everyday running of life. But then there's the Kairos. And the Kairos is when God breaks into our time, into where we're at. Remember, God is not limited to time. God sees the beginning from the end. He's not limited. He's not here. He's here in this moment, but he knows everything. He sees it in front of him. But the Kairos moment is when God breaks into our time, like what happened just now. He breaks into our time and he says, now, I want to do something. I want to shift hearts. So I'm actually just explaining what has been happening tonight, what God has been doing and what he has done over the last while. And then he said, just a very powerful warning. The greatest sin in the church today is envy. Envy is the greatest sin. And it actually says in Scripture, I think it's James, it says, where there's envy, there's every confusion and every evil reigns. And he said, the Lord wants to deliver us from envy. Like King Saul, he was envious of David. God wants to deliver us, to make us Davids, to bring us to a place where we understand the kingship of God. We understand who he is. We embrace who he is. And therefore, we're content with where we are. And I'm going to quickly jump ahead because I know I'm not going to get to this, but this is just so important. Who was sharing this morning? Tom Inglis. He said he went up to a pastor and he said to the pastor, how are you doing? So the pastor, and he says, normally pastors respond, they say, well, this is how my church is doing, and this is, we've grown so much, and this is what's happening. But he said he was so shocked and so struck by his answer. His answer was the following. He said, I'm content in Jesus. I'm content in Jesus. So it's not about the ministry. It's not about what we're doing, but it's about the place where we recognize him as the king. Because he's the king, he's in control of everything. He's in control of your life. And we must stop living our lives like God is not in control. He's absolutely in control. And he wants us to understand it, that part of his kingship. Then he just said, the end of Revelation, the book of Revelation. He says, he gets so frustrated when we say revelations. Because he says the book of Revelation is not about the revelations. It's about the revelation of Jesus. That's what the book of Revelation is about. Then he shared some other stuff. All right, so then the next session is again Tom Inglis. I really enjoyed him. He's a Scottish Australian who spent some time in South Africa, and was really such a blessing. He's a worship leader, just to receive from him. And you know, he did such an awesome practical demonstration of what he taught on. He taught on the power of thankfulness, thanksgiving. And I'm not going to do the practical. Maybe we can get Matthew up or whatever. Maybe we must listen to the session. But it was just practically demonstrating to us, how do you give thanks? And, you know, not just in words, but then it goes over into song, where we spontaneously just to begin to sing the song of God. And I think this is one of the practical things that God wants for us as a church here in Rondebosch is not just to worship God, not just to sing songs, but to really become thankful, and out of that thankfulness, begin to worship God. What he said is it's so powerful. Actually, he said the Lord gave him a message 30 years ago, and he's had so much resistance about this message, and you know, actually, for many years hasn't been able to share this message. But he says that when we worship, and I'm not going to do it justice, so you're going to have to listen to the session. But he says when we worship, there's something that happens in our worship time that tells of something that happens that's going to happen in the future. You know, and I cannot explain it like he did in terms of scripture, in terms of his experience, but I can say in my own experience, it's amazing the moments that I'm connecting into God, the moment that I'm truly into that place of thankfulness and into God's presence. In those times prepare me for the things that are about to come. So many times, I can tell you so many testimonies of how that is so powerful. And he says, God wants to bring us to a place of that being corporate, where we into the place of connecting to God, and in that we access what is going to happen in the future. There's a prophetic aspect that God wants us to walk in. This is how he says it. He says, Christ says, the kingdom is coming and now is. And he says, but how can something becoming, but also is. And he says, that's worship. He says, worship brings what is coming into the now. Okay, and that's what I just said. What something that is coming, he brings into the now if you and I come into that place of worship. Then he says, there's a place worship that will take us into the realm of the future where you and I are about to go. Then he's explained something that really struck me about thankfulness. And he says there's two ways of showing thankfulness. There's the Western, and then in this context, there's the Hebrew way of saying thanks. And he tells the story. He says, you know, when we give thanks in the West, we go and we say, thank you very much, you know, for what you have done to me. And he used the example. He said, so if someone buys you a car, for instance, you're going to say, thank you very, very, very much. All right? So the emphasis is going to change a bit. But then we walk away. We say, thank you very much, and then we walk away and we go on with our lives. He says the Hebrew way of giving thanks is different. He says, and he tells a story of this man that came up to him and he did something for him. And the man came to him and he said, this is just the essence of the story, but he says, the man said to him, what is your name? Then he said his name. Then he said, you know, what is your surname? And what he said, and this is the Hebrew definition or the Hebrew understanding of thanksgiving is the Hebrew understanding is proclaiming one's name. The person that you're thankful for proclaiming their name. So in other words, if your name is Reno Sneyman and you're thankful towards Reno Sneyman, then you go and you tell of his name. You say, this Reno, he's such a great guy. He blessed me in this way. You tell of his name. That's the Hebrew way of saying thanks. Now you can just relate this back to God. Thankfulness is telling of his name. In other words, he says witnessing. So witnessing is worship. Witnessing is thanksgiving. Telling of his name. Telling what he has done in your life. And bringing it to him. And then he used that situation with Jesus, where he healed the 10 guys, 10 lepers, and as they went, they got healed. But only one of the 10 came back. And the interesting comment that he made is he said, if you think of that parable, that man, or not parable, it's a real life situation, he walked. And then he came back. But guess what? Jesus had waited for him. Jesus was still in the same spot so that he could come back and thank him. And he says many times in our lives, God is actually waiting for us that you and I would come back and thank him. Say, God, thank you for that. He's still waiting in that spot. And the amazing thing with that man is actually, it says he'd receive his healing, but when it came back, if you look at the Hebrew, what it says there is he actually received his salvation. The other nine people just got their healing, but he got healed and he got saved because of the fact that he was thankful. And there's so much more that I can share about that. Something other else that's just so powerful. He says, God knows your voice. God knows your voice. He knows when you're crying out. And he also knows, he says, your prayer voice and your thanksgiving voice sounds different. There's a different sound to it. And God knows both. And so often we get used to speaking to God in a prayer voice, but God wants to know our thanksgiving voice because it's different. If you talk to God, you say, thank you, God. It sounds different. And he said, thanksgiving is the greatest privilege that you and I have on this earth. The angels cannot give thanks in the way that you and I can. And he says, thanksgiving is the sound of the redeemed. And we're privileged to do that. Session three, we were praying, so I wasn't specifically in that session. I've got some notes, but I'm just for the moment not going to look at that session. And I want to just, before we're going to listen to some testimonies, there was this actually it was just the time of prophetic worship. It wasn't one of the main sessions, but I just thought it'd be unfair not to share of what happened there. Who was in that session of just prophetic worship? Did you guys enjoy it? Was it blessed? C.S. LaRue was leading it, but was, as I said, it was just 1,000 people just coming and saying, God, we're just going to worship you. And I think it was about 2-3 hours of just worshiping God. And, you know, really just so powerfully how God moved and spoke into hearts and spoke into lives. And I remember there was an altar call for healing. And, C.S. got some words of knowledge. And the one word of knowledge he got was a man that fell down from a ladder, and because of that falling down from the ladder, his back was, he had intense pain in his back, and several other words, and it's amazing, you know, see, I said five of these people, and then five would come, and five of this, really such a powerful time of just connecting into God and the Holy Spirit, and I went up, you know, also went to pray for the people, and to be honest, you know, sometimes you're really feeling, I'm into this, you know, and I'm feeling focused. And I have to be honest with you, I really didn't feel it, you know. But I knew I just had to go up and go and pray for people. And I went up to this man, and it was actually this guy with the ladder that fell on his back. And I took his hands, and I started praying for him. And as I took his hands, he just fell under the power of God. And I sort of, you know, I held him back. Fortunately, he was a bit lighter than me, so I could hold on to him. And so I asked him, you know, what did you feel? And, you know, how's your back feeling? And I was getting ready because now we're going to pray now, you know, for his back still. I didn't even pray for his back yet. And he said, no, the pain's gone. It's gone. He's got no pain. It's gone. So he went up and he shared and he testified. And it was really just so powerful, amazing to see how God would, you know, just minister to hearts, you know, and just almost want to say the eagerness of God and the Holy Spirit to move. So I want us to just quickly, if you guys that want to share have got a testimony of how your life, I want you to focus when you share your testimony, not necessarily of what you learned or something that you're going to work through, but how were you changed? Let's quickly come forward. How were you changed? Is there anyone else? Quickly just come. I'm going to just have a time of sharing.
How's it? I had to start right at the beginning. Like I'd only been the Saturday and part of the Sunday. And Saturday morning before I was getting picked up, I had to get something off the bed. And under my pillow, I found a ring. And it was just so amazing because this is a ring I bought many years ago. And I've subsequently moved house, and it's, I thought it was lost or whatever. And through the day, it just spoke of restoration and what, you know, things that we think is lost, God is still going to, you know, be able to just, yeah. So that was just a physical thing that I was just like, I still don't know how it got there. Like, it, there's no ways that I can explain that. And it's just, yeah, like, the whole day, like, sadly, I went in without a great expectation. I was actually not sure how the day was going to go, and I had committed to intercession, and I was like, yo, that's a challenge for me. And I thought, yo, God, I don't think he's going to use me. But even in my weakness, God was still able to come, and I was able to give words, and I was able to share what he was saying. And yeah, like that session with CS was coming, praying, and said, come up for prayer and stuff. And one of the guys, I think he shared the other one Sunday, came and he prayed for me, and he just said some stuff of my life that, and like, often we think when we go through difficult times, there's stuff that just die within us, almost in a sense, and sometimes we need new life in that. But his word was more a thing of saying, there's, even though I feel that it wasn't, that there isn't life, there was still life there, and there's still fruit there. And it was like just, and then when I sat down, I randomly opened my Bible. I don't recommend this and for anybody, but, and I never do this, but I opened the Bible and it opened up on a scripture that said exactly that and totally confirmed what is being spoken there. So yeah, so for me it was and then the evening with Fred, it felt like he was talking to me the whole night. And it wasn't so much, I didn't have this amazing emotional spiritual thing. It was more like things started making sense in my mind, things that people have shared over years just starting to make sense. And yeah, so just a restoration happening in my life.
Hi. Yeah, there's lots that I can share. But this morning, we were sort of umming and ahhing whether we should go this morning or not. But in my mind, the conference was only finished after the morning session, so we could get here. And yeah, during the worship, even before the sermon, just during the worship, I don't know, it was quite unexpected, but I don't know, the Lord just, he just shook my idea of, the song that we were singing was, let heaven come, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And I think our idea of our concept often of heaven coming to earth is, it's a, I don't know, a moment when Jesus comes on the cloud, or it's sort of an event, you know, it's a time. But what I just experienced was that heaven, let heaven come on earth, let the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, is the moment when all of, when everyone on earth is turned to him and worshiping him, then heaven has come on earth. And it was just, I don't know, I was a wreck after for a while. But yeah, it is just, yeah, I don't know. And it just, I think it changed my heart in the sense of just wanting other people also to know him so that they can also worship him, because then he's going to come faster. Because it will, heaven will be here when all of us are turned to him and worshiping him.
Hello. okay, first of all, Convergence is like a rock concert. It was amazing. You need to say that. For me, last year I was like, to God, I don't really fear you, you know, like, it's like, yeah, you know, you read the scriptures, like, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, and I didn't understand that. And so when Kone Berka, whatever, he was talking about the great storm, the great calm, and the great fear, where this year my life has been, like, it was a great storm. And it was the first time for me. I was like, oh, what's going on? And then there was a great calm. And now I'm in a period of the great fear with God. And I never thought I'd say this, but it's so amazing because it's almost like it's scary, but it's like, oh my word, this is what it means to fear God and to not for it not to just be a thing that you kind of say because it feels good and godly or Christianly, but it's like a lifestyle almost, I want to say. So, yeah. Convergence!
Hi, everyone. My name's Monica. So, I believe part of what God has given me specifically is the joy of the Lord. He's told me often that the joy of the Lord is my strength. But because I believe that's something he's given me, it's an area in my life where I actually struggle quite a lot. I often struggle with a lot of heaviness and just having absolutely no joy at all. And it's been like that for quite a bit of this year. And then I was also part of the intercession team for Convergence, which is a little bit out of my comfort zone. And I knew we would be praying for like 2-3 hours at a time. But then, so I was in Reino's session for intercession, and we prayed a little bit. And then after that, Reino said, and now we are going to lift up the tabernacle of David and do prophetic dance. So if I think intercession is out of my comfort zone, sort of prophetic dance is really out of my comfort zone in a really bad way. I thought he was joking because he was kind of a bit quiet after that. So I thought, okay, then we'll just carry on praying. And we didn't. Praise the Lord. The intercession room was had like a light on. It was a small room. And then in the front was like this room with machinery and it was dark. So we all got our own spot in the dark, thank goodness. And we did a prophetic dance. And then we all had to show each other some of our moves afterwards as well for the rest to interpret. Thank goodness Reino said, what happens in here stays in here. But what was quite cool in that is it was way out of my comfort zone, but I did it. And then there was an altar call last night for people who have lost the joy of their salvation. And I thought in my mind, oh, I must go up. But then I felt the Lord actually say as I was sitting there, I restored your joy last night when you were doing the prophetic dance. So it was quite cool. It just it reminds me as well as sometimes when you do something that's totally out of your comfort zone, you might want to die. The Lord can actually come and work in your life in those times.
Monica, just before you go, Monica, come do your moves, man. Okay, if you meet Monica outside a bit later, she'll show you her moves. And I just want to actually end off on that note, and if the band can quickly come up. As Monica was sharing there, we had the privilege as the Shofar Rondebosch Church to head up the intercession. Like she was saying, Marichen and the team led us through the weekend of interceding over every session. Intercession happened and was really so blessed. And in fact, I think we were so blessed just doing it. But I want to just end off by just sharing, you know, just of God's faithfulness and just about something prophetic that God is doing. And so, like Monica was sharing, we were doing the intercession, and believe me, I would not be the first one to suggest that we must do a dance. But I don't know, unfortunately, I have time to go into why and what the reasons was. But all I know is God really just spoke so powerfully to us. And specifically that, the tabernacle of David. And this morning, I don't know who of you were there, Tong Inglis spent almost half the session talking about the fact that God is raising up the tabernacle of David in the church. And what I want to get to is there's actually some news that we're actually going to talk about in a separate occasion. This is not the right platform for it. But I don't want to brush over it as well. But Pastor Fred last night in his session mentioned that for a while he's going to be stepping down from ministry. And so that's something that we're going to be talking at a later stage, and you know the reasons for that. And he's going to just be focusing on his personal relationship with his wife. And there's some things. So you know, we're going to have a session where we're going to be talking through that and what's on God's heart and so forth. But what I want to get at is the fact that the tabernacle of David and the fact that God had prepared us and prepared the church and, you know, in that, is the tabernacle of David represents, God's presence and the fact that God is with us. And, you know, I just want to just quickly bring us back to what Tom Inglis was saying this morning. He was talking about the difference, you know, because in the New Testament, in Acts, actually, it says that in the last days, God will raise up the tabernacle of David. Now, what does that mean? And, of course, I cannot share everything, but one or two things that really significant about the tabernacle of David, and what Tom Inglis said this morning, is if there was many temples in the Old Testament. There was the tabernacle of Moses, there was the temple of Solomon, and of course the tabernacle of David. But what makes that so significant? Maybe that's why we did the dance, Monica. It's because one of the things that David did is, you know, in Scripture it says he danced with all his might. You know, actually, he brought in dance as worship. Because remember, David was the worshiper. That's why he wrote most of the Psalms. So you know, the one side of it is worship. Tabernacle of David means worship. But not just worship in singing song, but all expressions of worship, whether it's art, whether it's dancing. And God is saying to us as a church, he's raising up the tabernacle of David. But what is so amazing about the tabernacle of David as well is the tabernacle of David didn't have a veil. Whereas if you look at Solomon, Solomon was not a worshiper. There was a veil in his temple. And I don't know if you see this, but I've always had it in my mind that the New Testament, there was no veil because Jesus had come to tear down the veil. You know, and of course that is the most powerful truth today, the fact that you and I can come boldly to the throne of grace. We've got access to God the Father. But I want you to see this in Old Testament times even. You know, that's why God said David is a man after his own heart, because David could come to God without a veil in that time. Isn't that amazing? And the tabernacle of David represents the place where church as an institution is headed up by God. You know, like we said about worship, worship is a place where God prepares us for the future. But it's that place where you and I step into the holies of holies. You know, and on one side, you know, it's quite a, you know, unexpected thing. It's quite a, you know, Fred stepping down now for a while out of public ministry. But the exciting thing is God is preparing us and has preparing us. He's lifting up the tabernacle of David. So I want us to just stand tonight, and as the band can just lead us in some worship, because that's really what it's about tonight, is to say, God, we want to access what is real. We want to access you. We want to see you. And we want to enter into that place of the most holy God, most holy of holies, Lord. The outer courts is not enough for us. Standing outside and checking this nice building and what's happening around this, all these ornaments and things that God has instituted, and even walking into the holy place, and there was various aspects, and there was another level that only certain people, only the priests were allowed to enter in. But good news is you and I, in the new covenant, God calls us to be priests. Peter says we are a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, his own special people. We are his special people. And that is what's so exciting. But beyond that, beyond the fact that you and I are a priesthood, that we can come into the holies because we are priests in God, in Christ, there's a next step, there's a next place that you and I can enter into, the most holy of holies. And through Christ, through Jesus, he separated that veil
is torn. It's taken down. When Jesus was on the cross, the earth shook. And that curtain, that veil, was torn. So therefore, there's no more hindrance. The writer of Hebrews says, nothing stops us. Nothing can hinder us now. The only thing that can hinder you from coming into that place is yourself. The devil cannot stop you. People, your family, people that persecute you cannot. Only you can. Even some Afrikaans in there. Only you can stop yourself from coming into that veil. So I want us to just come to God and just humbly say, God, show me why I am not entering into that Holy of Holies. Lord, show me. This is the most honest prayer that you can ever pray in your life. Say, show me, Lord, what is hindering your kingdom from coming in and through my life? Because you are the king. Even if I choose it or not, you are the king. But what hinders your kingship, your rule, your reign, your kingdom? Heavens, like Danielle said, from coming down in and around my life. What is hindering me? I want us to just honestly ask God that question. Without religious, being religious, say, God, what is it? Show me. I want to know. It's not about praying tonight and coming forward or any of that. But it's about being real with God. Saying, God, I really want to be real with you. I want to accept your kingship in my life. And I want to say, God, if there's something, then I want to separate from that something now. And I want to give you everything. I want to enter in. Into the most holy of holies. I want us to just lift up our hands to the King. Lord, we honor you. Why don't you just say after me, Lord, we honor you. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's no one like you. And Father, tonight, we stretch out our hands to the heavens. And Father, we say that that is our destination. Not heaven itself, but you, God, you are our destination. Father, tonight, we choose to enter into you. We choose to abide you. We choose to forsake all others, all the idols of our hearts, all our comforts, all the places that we get significance. But we choose you now, God. Be lifted high with my life and our lives. Let's just worship God. Won't you just speak to him? Thank him, and then let's worship him. Matthew, won't you lead us?